Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Tonight, Columbus City Council is set to vote on the plan to save the Blue Jackets or bail out the Blue Jackets, depending on where you're coming from, depending on which term you prefer. The city and Franklin County would buy Nationwide Arena from Nationwide and give the Blue Jackets free rent. This hour on All Sides, we're going to look at how the deal, who's getting the best deal. Our question to you, listeners, should the taxpayer or private businesses save the Blue Jackets? Call us at 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or look for us on Facebook, and you can tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU, if you want to do that way. So, in law, politics, and journalism, they say to find the truth, follow the money. And in this report, WOSU's Mandy Trimble tried to do just that.
If all goes as planned, Nationwide Arena soon will be owned by taxpayers of Franklin County and the City of Columbus. Mayor Michael Coleman says it's the only way to save the arena district.
To avoid a blighted building and encourage an investment in jobs.
But critics like City Council candidate Matt Ferris say taxpayers should not bear the burden.
We can't keep backing projects that are hemorrhaging money.
Despite the criticism, the city and county will use about $10 million a year in casino tax money to pay for the arena. The Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority, or the CFA, would run the facility, and the Blue Jackets get free rent. So let's look at the numbers and see who's getting what. Let's look at what taxpayers are getting for their money.
And joining us to talk about that in person is Mandy Trimble. Welcome to the show, Mandy.
Good morning, Ann.
So you looked at a lot of numbers, you looked at a lot of documents, a lot of emails, and spreadsheets, talked to a lot of experts. What surprised you most about the Nationwide Arena deal? What jumped out at you?
What jumped out at me most is that the city and county aren't really going to be making any money on this deal for a very long time. They will be receiving money from non-hockey game concessions, some parking revenues. However, that money is going to go to cover the gap in the capital and operating expenses. So technically, they're not going to be making any money on this deal, and that was confirmed by the Franklin County Facilities Authority head, Bill Jennison.
Well, this is all business, so somebody must be making some money somewhere. Joining us now, OSU Finance Professor Stephen Buser. Stephen, you've studied this problem. You've looked deeply at the Blue Jackets' financial situation. You've analyzed the benefits the Arena District has brought to the city. Probably looked at a few spreadsheets yourself. Why can't the Blue Jackets save themselves?
Well, I think they can, and they have for 10 years. The big risk is that other cities are looking at this as really an opportunity for them to bring in tremendous business development. And I think the math that we were just talking about is very limited and focused on the operation, appropriately so. But then the question is, well, what is the spillover effect? And I think Mayor Coleman was talking about the Arena District as opposed to the Blue Jackets, a single business entity. And if you look at the Arena District, that's where the big opportunity is. And other cities around the country are drooling at the prospects of bringing in the Blue Jackets and would offer much more than Columbus is offering them.
The Ohio State Glenn School did a study that said about 8,000 people work in the Arena District that generates about $30 million a year in income tax revenue. And I'm wondering, is that brand new income tax revenue, or is that just shifted from some other part of the city? Did anyone figure that out?
That's a very good question. And there are actually two studies. We've mixed them together. The Glenn study did the jobs analysis. And then the numbers, the tax revenues you're talking about, actually was a study by Nationwide.
Okay.
And the Nationwide study looked at only a handful of businesses, looked at the arena itself, the Blue Jackets, and a handful of restaurants to come up with that estimate of $30 million. So that's a very, very conservative number, left more than 100 businesses out of the analysis, because you and I can't just go get tax revenue information from people. If I ask you for your tax information, for instance, you would say, why? So Nationwide happened to have contacts with a limited number of people and could get their tax revenues. But that's a tiny fraction of the total picture. Now, some of that may have been moved from one place to another. But I think the number of moves would be very small in relation to the fraction they're looking at. So as an economist, I'm not at all concerned about being overly optimistic. I think, if anything, that number, despite the moving around, is a very conservative estimate of new tax revenues. I think it's probably a multiple of $30 million that we're talking about. So $30 million is just a bare bones bottom estimate. And no one who's looked at that has disputed that.
We're talking with OSU finance professor Stephen Buser and also WOSU's news reporter Mandy Trimble. So Mandy, in this deal, such as it is, can you break it down for us a little bit, just the bare bones of it,
sure,
and then
the
we'll talk about who's getting what?
Absolutely. Well, let's start out with how much the deal is going to, or the purchase is going to cost. It's $42.5 million that the Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority will buy it for, and they are Nationwide is actually lending them the money for that, and they are going to use casino tax revenue to pay off this deal over the course of, say, 27 years, depending on how much revenue begins to flow in from the casino. They're going to spend roughly $10 million a year, depending on the earliest estimates on up to the higher estimates, and that's about a quarter of the tax revenue from the casino, and it over time will increase, and that's where the early payoff could possibly come in. The Convention Facilities Authority is going to pay CAM. It's this nonprofit entity. It's run by OSU and some others, and they will actually manage the facility. And estimates are capital expenses, operating expenses total about $4.8 million for 2012. That likely could increase over the years. So we were looking at some numbers, and at the end of the term, the Facilities Authority will have spent about $250 million on the arena and its expenses.
Nationwide knew it would lose money, but executives said that they would make up for the losses and turn a profit from other development in the district, office space, that sort of thing, parking lot revenue, that sort of thing, which I've contributed quite a bit to already. Why can't Nationwide just keep the arena and offer free rent to the Jackets? Why does it have to go through all of this changing of hands?
Well, I'd like to add, Anne, that Nationwide, in an email the other day, told me that they have not taken any rent from the Blue Jackets for the past 4 years,
Okay. Which
calls into question if the Blue Jackets haven't been paying rent over the past 4 years, if this deal will actually help them.
In other words, what difference does it make to the Blue Jackets?
Right. That's to be seen, and that's another story for another day, but I don't know if people know that or not.
So, Stephen Buser, what are the economics of operating something like this? And is that always the way it is? The arena really won't make money in and of itself. It's about what it attracts to the area. So Nationwide, of course, invested in a lot of property around there.
Yes. A company called MZ Sports looked at this, and that is the norm for what they call a single-tenant arena. There are big exceptions if you happen to have more than one tenant, a basketball team as well as a hockey team, for example, sharing the same arena. But for the single-tenant, they lose a lot of money, and there are two dimensions to rent. One is the amount of money that the Blue Jackets pay to use the facility themselves, and the other is that the Blue Jackets are also responsible for managing the arena when they are not playing hockey games, and they lose an additional $4 to $5 million a year operating for the non-season. So Nationwide, I think, has been extremely generous and did give up their rent, but Blue Jackets are still paying out of pocket a certain amount of money. And your earlier question of, well, why can't that go on? It, in principle, could. The question is, well, will the Blue Jackets stay under those terms when they have the opportunity to do dramatically better by moving to another city, and it's receiving bids to move to other cities? So that's the risk that Mayor Coleman was worried about, that the Blue Jackets, despite all we're doing for them, and I don't think anyone's complaining that we're not trying. The question is, well, if the market out there is stronger and they move, what's at stake?
So Nationwide is probably going to write off its arena loss.
I would assume so,
yeah.
Yes.
And it says, which they say is $40 million. Would Nationwide would have lost that money no matter what? Shouldn't the county and city have been able to buy the arena for even less?
Well, perhaps. I was not part of the negotiation, mm-hmm. but I'm stunned by how good a deal the city and county got from Nationwide. I'll do an analogy. Mm-hmm. Suppose you wanted to sell your house to me, and I said, okay, I will pay you one-third of what you paid for your house. That would be a shock in and of itself, mm-hmm. but real estate values are down. And then I'd say, oh, and also I want you to lend me
right.
the full amount that I'm going to pay you, plus I want you to lend me even more because I want you to lend me enough so that I can pay you interest on what I owe you for the first few years. And then, oh, by the way, even when you get the money, I want you to make that investment in a losing business called the Blue Jackets. So Nationwide, I still think, is a very generous partner in all of this deal.
Generous partner, or is there something else that we don't see?
Well, I guess I'll interpret your question as Nationwide certainly has a stake in this.
Yeah.
They have a stake in
they're
the
arena. They're a business.
They're a business, and they have a big investment in the arena district themselves. So like the city has a big investment that they're getting millions of dollars of tax revenues from the arena district, that could go away. And I was skeptical on that point, by the way, until I learned about the blackout, when the 1 year we didn't play hockey, what happened to the arena. And that was a stunner to me personally. So I think the mayor's right that there's a risk of loss of major tax revenue. And that same risk carries over to Nationwide itself because it owns and operates many of the properties in the district.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Franklin County Commissioner John O'Grady and also Mike Reese, Chief of Staff for the Columbus Mayor Michael Coleman. So we'll have those folks on. We have tried to get representatives from Nationwide on before, and we haven't succeeded yet. We'll keep at it. We'll keep trying. Greg in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Greg.
Hey. I got to say, this whole conversation is making my head spin.
Yeah.
I thought we had an election in the 90s where the taxpayers said they didn't want to fund this, and now we're not going to have an election, and Nationwide's going to get bailed out, and the taxpayers are going to fund this. You know, we're going to use the casino receipts, but didn't the voters in Columbus say we didn't want the casino even? And we were told it was going to be used for other public goods, not for bailing out Nationwide. I think it's interesting that they're not participating in the show again, but this seems like classic corporate welfare. They choose to support golf and race cars, and we were told that they were a benevolent corporate citizen that was going to help us with the hockey team. If anybody should be subsidizing anything, Nationwide should be giving the Blue Jackets free rent.
And they have been, apparently, for the last 4 years.
Then they should continue. It's their arena, but why are we being asked to subsidize it? And I find the argument that they're going to move to other cities specious because the NHL is actually talking about collapsing the league, you know, having less teams because teams are failing. Atlanta just lost their team. They went back up to...
To Winnipeg?
Yeah, to Winnipeg. And so this is that, you know, threat that we're always told that these corporate entities are going to love us and then leave us, and we've got to continue to be their sugar daddies and take care of them. Okay. So, you know, this just seems to go round and round in this town. And I'm very confused as to why we have to subsidize Nationwide.
All right, Greg, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Stephen Buser?
Can I field that one? Yes.
Sure.
Well, first, I agree 100% with the perspective of the caller. That's where I started when I looked at this. I said, no way. I actually was not here when the vote was taken. I was out visiting professors elsewhere. But if I'd been here, I would have voted against it as well, saying, no way will this development generate the type of tax revenues that are required. But to my great surprise, and I think to the surprise of a lot of people, it has done far better than we could have predicted. I remember when it was an abandoned prison district generating no revenue for anybody. And so I think there is a considerable risk. So I disagree with the caller on the risk. I know firsthand that there were people, including Winnipeg, that even talked to me about the Blue Jackets and did I think they could get the Blue Jackets. I have no hockey background, so I had to say I have no clue. But there were a number of cities and still are a number of cities looking at the Blue Jackets.
Well, do we know who those cities are, Mandy? Which cities those are, I should say?
I don't know off the top of my head, Ann. I know that there was a couple of... and I may be wrong, Canadian cities that a possibility that they could go to, but I'm not certain about that.
and at least one in the United States, and I probably shouldn't be blabbing on that, but I mean, they called me to ask my advice. And again, I had to tell them I know nothing about hockey from the sports angle or from the financial angle. I just ran some numbers for some people.
And if I could address the caller's point about tax revenue, all of those questions have been posed to the mayor and to others about why we are using taxpayer dollars. And technically, if you want to get technical, it's not taxpayer dollars. That is their argument for this, that it's revenue from the casino and not directly from like a tax increase or something of that nature. And that's why they say they looked at this deal and that was the better deal, because voters had over many votes had voted down using taxpayer funded arenas.
Okay. And then one more question, Mandy, before we let you go, and Stephen, pitch in if you see something you want to say. The Blue Jackets' current lease prohibits them from leaving Nationwide Arena. So why do we have to go through all of this? And what's the difference between the prohibition from leaving before 2039 and the new plan that's not actually all written up yet, but that's what we've learned, and what the current lease says?
Okay, well, the current lease says that the Blue Jackets have to play their games at the arena. They cannot enter into any other kind of agreement or any other, like I said, agreement that would take them away from Nationwide Arena. And that does include if they were sold. If they were to be sold, the new owners would have to play their games at the arena. The new agreement, which doesn't exist at this point, would be a user agreement. And attorneys have told me that would stand up in court more than a lease agreement would. And from what I've been told, as far as the current lease agreement, if, say, the Blue Jackets were to be sold or they wanted to leave because of this money issue, and, say, Nationwide were to say, no, you're in a lease agreement, you have to stay here. Well, if it were to make them financially insolvent and they were to end up in bankruptcy court, a judge would just disregard the lease. And they say that the new user agreement is stronger than a lease agreement.
But there's a $36 million penalty for leaving,
right?
But wouldn't a new owner buying write it off? I mean,
write it off
it's
as
part
a
of the purchase price,
relocation,
right?
Relocation, yeah.
It's big business.
They could.
Stephen?
I assume that's the case, but I'm not a lawyer, and again, I'm not a hockey expert, so I did not get into the lease thing. I do know that the people that were considering the Blue Jackets were well aware of the financial conditions.
Okay. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, a rising generation of young Americans face tough times. We'll look at the impact and their way forward. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins later this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher today. 49 degrees in downtown Columbus, cloudy skies, and a high of 61 this afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 48 degrees. Expect some sunshine for Tuesday and a high of 69.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Midland Theater, presenting comedian Tim Conway, known for his improvised style and comedic timing. Conway offers up 90 minutes of stand-up and sketch comedy Sunday, October 16th. Tickets at midlandtheater.org.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about the Nationwide Arena deal. The Columbus City Council is going to vote on the plan tonight to save the Blue Jackets or bail out the Blue Jackets, however you want to look at it. In the deal, the city and Franklin County would buy Nationwide Arena from Nationwide and give the Blue Jackets free rent So that's what we're looking at this hour. If you have a question or comment, let us know. Our question to you is, should the taxpayer or private business save the Blue Jackets? At 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Still with us, Mandy Trimble, WOSU news reporter who's been covering this issue, and also OSU finance professor Stephen Buser. He's analyzed both the Columbus Blue Jackets financial situation and the benefits the Arena District has brought to the city. So thanks again for being with us. Joining us now, this segment, is Franklin County Commissioner. It is Mike Reese. He's the chief of staff for the Columbus Mayor Mike Coleman. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Good morning, Ann.
What exactly is City Council voting on tonight? Is there actually a plan out there now, or is it still sort of PowerPoint mode yet still?
Well, the plan is the one that John Rosenberger, Hugh Dorian, our city auditor, and Bill Jennison with the CFA spent the last 2 years on, and that basically will have the city and county both dedicating a portion of the casino revenues over the next 25 to 30 years to the Convention Facilities Authority, who will become the owner and operator of the arena.
So have you seen, is there more documentation to this plan than what's been out there so far? What does it look like, in other words? How many pages is it?
Well, I think it's been pretty transparent. It's obviously been covered very well in the media, the print, radio, and TV media. And I think, you know, it's been going on for the last 2 years. And a couple of points I wanted to really hit on that were talked about the last 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that I think are very important for folks to hear. I mean, we can speculate. You know, our federal and state government right now are desperately trying to create jobs, and we have an arena district that works. These aren't hypothetical jobs. We have 10,000 jobs at stake in the arena district, 8,000 current jobs, and 2,000 projected jobs to occur over the next couple of years. So this is about, you know, protecting that investment. And if the Blue Jackets were to leave, which is a real possibility. Your first caller alluded to Atlanta, who lost a team. That happened basically, you know, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to take that risk and gamble. So by putting forth this plan, which does not use any general fund money out of the city's general fund, it uses casino revenues, we think it's the responsible thing to do. The mayor supports it. We're fighting for every job we can.
Well, you say it's not general fund money because it hasn't been generated yet, but if it had not been used or dedicated to the arena plan, it would have been general fund money, right?
That's correct, and we will use the remaining 75. The mayor's position is, as is the city auditor's, I believe, is to use the remaining 75% of the casino revenues for basic city services, and that would include police, fire, you're resurfacing our roads, trash collection, those type of things. So we believe this is the a strong plan. It's a responsible thing to do. It keeps the Blue Jackets here for the next 25 or 30 years. There is a private sector investment here as well. That one of our principals was that Nationwide invested, and they are investing tens of millions of dollars into this equation. They're becoming a significant owner of the team. So you know, we weren't going to jeopardize 10,000 jobs when we're still in a recession, even though Columbus is doing better than others. You know, I think it's important that the mayor believes it's important to fight for every job in these times.
So the Blue Jackets' current lease prohibits them from leaving Nationwide Arena. What's the difference besides, I mean, they could be fined in this new proposal if they were to leave before the end of the term of the contract. But as we mentioned earlier, that would be just part of the sale price to a buyer to pay that fine. It isn't necessarily prohibitive. What if the Blue Jackets could leave now, even though there's that provision in the current contract, what's to stop them really ultimately from leaving later, before the term of the next one?
Well, first, I want to correct something. The present lease doesn't prohibit them from leaving. It simply allows Nationwide to file an injunction. And it does not include damages. So with this new agreement that City Council will vote on this evening, it does include liquidated damages. And so should the Blue Jackets you know, breach the contract and you know, try to leave, the city and county have standing. And we believe that's a serious. Our lawyers are telling us, our finance team, you know, these are three individuals who have decades of finance experience, and you know, our lawyers are telling us that this is much stronger than what currently is in the agreement.
So what would be the legal basis for an injunction if Nationwide were to file an injunction if there isn't any prohibition for leaving in the contract currently?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Ann. I mean, we can all speculate about, you know, what might happen or you know, what the present language says or doesn't say. You know, mm-hmm. I think this is really very simple. What the city and county leadership have decided to do here, with private sector investment, and the state of Ohio is participating as well, is that we want to protect our investment. You know, we've spent, the public and private sector have invested about $1 billion in the Arena District over the last decade or so. Significant amount of infrastructure and resources into that Arena District. And it's a district that works. Our downtown is healthy. It's the economic engine of the region. I don't think we want to risk having a blighted arena that could become vacant and trying to find another anchor tenant. So we believe it's a solid agreement. It's protects 10,000 jobs. We have more certainty than we have right now that the Blue Jackets will stay. And we have a diversity of ownership, along with Worthington Industries and Nationwide and others, who will all own the team, so we have local ownership.
Okay. Jim in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to make the comment that one of the problems we have is that so many people live in the suburbs, and due to the lack of mass transit like light rail and subway, it's just too hard for these families to come into Columbus to watch the games, and so they would rather just stay home and watch TV.
Because it's too much of a hassle to come down and park.
Yeah, to drive and get stuck in traffic and then have to come down and park and then get stuck in a big traffic jam when the game is over.
Okay. What about that, Mike Reese? What's the city going to do to improve the mass transit system so that more people will use it to get to the games?
Well,
are there any other infrastructure considerations?
The caller brings up a very, very good point. You know, the mayor, I know the mayor believes strongly in mass transit, believes that the city in this region should have light rail. That's something, obviously, we hope that COTA takes on that mission here in the near future. But, you know, we're going to do our best, obviously, using our roads that we have, our road network, and our public safety police officers that work to get traffic in and out. But we also want people to, you know, part of the reason why the Arena District works and our downtown is growing and can become even more vibrant is that people don't just come here for one event. You know, we have parks and hotels and other amenities so that people can stay.
And bars and restaurants.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Kristen in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I've read that Ohio State University also is part of this overall deal to keep the Blue Jackets in Nationwide Arena. And I'm wondering what their exact role is.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that, Mandy?
I can address that. When this all started a couple of years ago, there was a little bit of talk about the Blue Jackets, OSU, and what their role might be in this. And they took over running the arena. And basically in an effort to help the Blue Jackets save some money. And when they did that, there was some talk about maybe OSU could be a long-term solution to this, but they are not part of this deal other than they will continue to help run the arena, and that is that's the extent to that.
Okay. Thanks, Kristen, for the call. Hope that helps. Joining us now is Franklin County Commissioner John O'Grady. And welcome. Welcome to the show, Commissioner.
How are you, Ann? Thank you.
I'm very well. What is the difference, and Mike Reese from the mayor's office or Commissioner O'Grady, one of you could maybe answer this. What's the difference between what the Columbus City Council is going to vote on tonight and what the county commissioners are going to vote on in November?
Mike, I can certainly answer, or at least I'll throw my two cents in, and we'll let Mike finish.
Okay, John O'Grady.
That clean up.
Okay.
The Columbus City Council is going to vote tonight. The city and the county are two separate entities. There's two different sets or pots of money that are going into this deal. So an action has to be taken by each entity. The dollars, the 25% that's derived off of the casino revenues for the city, and the 25% that's derived off the casino revenues for the county. Those are different pots of money, different amounts of money, and so there needs to be two separate actions. The city council is going to act tonight. We're going to act in the month of October. We've committed to getting this done in the month of October.
Oh, okay.
So it's not that there's any real difference other than the county has to take action, the city has to take action, because there's a lot of partners in this process: the city, the county, the CFA, Ohio State, Nationwide. There are several different partners. There's a very good example of a public-private partnership that works, and so.
Commissioner, when you sign off on this or vote on this, I guess you can't assume it's going to go, but everyone seems to
think
it will.
I'm only one of three.
You're only one person. But when you do, is there going to be something else that you look at besides the 30-page PowerPoint that has been out there? Is there going to be actually a contract or something with details and with all the gobbledygook that nobody understands? Is there going to be something like that?
Absolutely. The teams have been working on it for some time now. The city attorney Rick Pfeiffer's office, from the city's perspective, Franklin County Prosecutor Ron O'Brien's office have been looking at this and putting the devil in the details, obviously, but putting all of the legal qualifications, putting it all together so that the city council and the county commissioners have all the details before the vote is taken.
So Mike Reese, chief of staff for the mayor, is that what the city council is going to consider tonight, or is it something different?
I'm sorry, and what's your question?
Will it be this elaborate contract that Commissioner O'Grady just spoke of, or is it something less complicated at this point?
Well, tonight, as we often do, this is not unusual. It's an agreement that will direct the portion of the city casino dollars to the Commission Facilities Authority, and other details certainly associated with it that we've already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
There will be subsequent pieces of legislation that will be necessary, probably several of them yet this year, perhaps into 2012. We're just taking the first step this evening. One thing I want to clear up that was discussed earlier, and I do think, it was mentioned that the city and county don't get anything from this. And I think if you look at the tens of millions of dollars, I believe the university said that the arena district generates nearly $30 million to the state and local government in the form of income tax and sales tax revenue. So we believe by acting on this and moving forward with this plan protects that revenue that we all get and helps secure additional revenue in the future.
Okay.
That's absolutely right, Mike.
Okay. We're going to have to take a quick break. We'll be right back and continue our conversation about Nationwide Arena and the new deal that the Columbus City Council will vote on tonight, and then Franklin County Commissioners will vote on later in the month. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, see Peter Wagner, a leading apostle in the new Apostolic Reformation. Its missions include dominion, taking leadership positions in government, education, business, and the media, and evangelizing cities by conducting spiritual warfare against demons. Several apostles affiliated with the movement helped organize or spoke at Rick Perry's prayer rally. Join us.
Ann Fisher.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And join us tomorrow morning at 11 for All Sides with Ann Fisher and Tech Tuesday, a discussion of changes to Facebook and energy-saving light bulbs. That's All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow morning at 11. And here's your opportunity to win an iPad 2 and support 89.7 NPR News. Our fall membership drive begins soon, and by making your pledge early, you'll be automatically entered to win an iPad 2. No pledge is necessary, and entries are only accepted at WOSU.org. The deadline is October 13th.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
Cloudy skies today, a high of 61 degrees. A few clouds tonight, a low of 48. Expect some sunshine for Tuesday and a high of 69. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We're talking about the new nationwide arena deal coming up. The Columbus City Council votes on it tonight, or some facsimile of it. And later on this month, the Franklin County Commissioners vote on it. With us right now, Mike Reese. He's Chief of Staff for Columbus City Mayor Mike Coleman. Again, Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Ann.
Also with us, Franklin County Commissioner John O'Grady. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Ann.
And OSU Finance Professor Stephen Buser, you're still with us, and we appreciate that.
Happy to be here.
And Andy Trimble, WOSU's reporter, who's been covering this issue. We have an email from Kimberly, then I want to get to a call from Lou. Kimberly writes, I don't even want to carry on about how mad I am about this. Sports franchises are drains on the cities that host them. But whenever the owners want to have the cities fund new stadiums, they always talk about what a benefit they are to the cities. So, you know, it's an interesting question. Why is this whole deal only supposed to be a benefit in terms of a profiting, not tax revenue coming in or foregone, you know, but in terms of profiting? Why is it only going to be a profit for the businesses, but the city and the county won't necessarily profit? They'll just retain and maybe generate more tax revenue.
Could I jump in there?
Yeah, Stephen.
I mean, I started as skeptical, if not more skeptical, than the person writing in. And I got converted. I do think they're profiting. The city's profiting, the county's profiting, and the state is profiting. And it's from the explosion in tax revenues from the arena district. And we saw what happened the year that they didn't play hockey, what happened to those tax revenues. So in terms of just forget about what the business is, business XYZ. Mm-hmm. If you had the opportunity to retain business XYZ that's generating these types of tax revenues, I think everybody'd be all over it. And that's why I am a convert now. I went from no way, I don't want to subsidize sports, agreeing with the call-in, to saying this as a business enterprise, forget the sports angle, mm-hmm. purely as a business retention makes sense, and you don't want to risk it because other cities are looking at the success of the Columbus model and want to duplicate it. So it was at risk.
Commissioner O'Grady, when you make an investment like this and something like this, a business or a business person would think about getting a profit back from it. You're looking at retaining and generating more tax revenue. Is it the same thing in your mind, or is there another way to go about
There's
it?
There's no question. That's the business that city and county government are in. You know, earlier in the program, you had callers call in talking about you know, back in the 90s, there were votes, and now there's no vote.
Right.
You know, there's no question. That's not lost on elected officials that have to make these decisions. But we weren't elected to make easy decisions. We were elected to make the difficult decisions. This is to compare what we're doing now to what went on back in the late 90s, or in the 90s, the three votes that went on in the 90s, I think is just kind of a silly comparison. And the reason I think it's silly, Ann, is because back in the 90s, I grew up in this town. I've been in this town my whole life. Mm-hmm. I drove past and drove through what is the current arena district then. We had a dilapidated, rundown, out-of-business state penitentiary. We had very little tax generating at all going on in that arena district or in that district at the time at all. Mm-hmm. Now, billions of dollars in investment and billions of dollars have been generated, hundreds of millions of dollars have been generated in revenues over the last 12 years because of this development. This is about economic development. It's a strategic investment. If the arena had never been there, then as it was back in the 90s, then I understand those votes. But for there to be a comparison to it now, when we've had 12 years of revenues coming in based on, you know, what we have there, you know, and the other way to look at this, by the way, you know, the Blue Jackets, they've been operating at a loss. We're not in the business of hockey. We don't want to be in the business of hockey. Hockey operations should have nothing to do with this deal. But we have to have a tenant at the arena. So if, you know, in retail terms, you would look at the Blue Jackets as the loss leader. They are, because they are there, they drive the revenues that are the rest of the arena district because the Blue Jackets are there. It's not just what goes on in the arena, but what goes on in the entire surrounding area. It's the reason why the county commissioners decided to put the ballpark there. You know, there are many other things that happen there, and the city benefits from the income tax revenue. Mm-hmm. The county benefits from the sales tax revenue. So while there's a direct correlation between what the state of Ohio receives, what the city receives, and maybe less so what the county receives off of the arena itself, it's the dollars that are driven because the arena's there and business is happening and being done in the area.
Stephen Buser, you mentioned a couple times the blackout of hockey that year. I've blacked that out of my memory. But what did we lose? What did county and city government lose? When you talk about remember that and how much we lost, we saw what happens when they weren't here for a year. Well, what did we lose?
Well, I spoke to some of the businesses down there because I was skeptical. I figured, well, 40 nights we play hockey. If we shut down for 40 nights, how big a deal can that be for the arena district? But I talked to businesses said that they lost business not just on those 40 nights, but their businesses went dead. Several of them failed. And I don't have a quantitative number for you. Again, we don't have access to tax records, so I couldn't give you the tax impact. But the businesses themselves that were the basis for this study indicated that their revenue just collapsed. And it was very dramatic. And they were terrified of the shutdown because they also thought they would just lose revenue on 40 nights out of a year. Out of 360 days, 40 go dark. That'd be bad, but not devastating. And the thing was, it just changed the whole equation for them.
Lou in Grandview, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Thank you. I'm a Blue Jackets season ticket holder and have been from the beginning, and I love the Blue Jackets. I'm glad this agreement has been made to keep them here in town. I think this is an investment. This isn't a bailout. The brewmaster at Barley's downtown across from the convention center told me that when the NHL season was canceled, their revenues were down $400,000 for the year, and they're not even next to the arena. I mean, this is not a fable. These businesses depend on events at the arena, and because the Blue Jackets are there, there are other events that come there too, major conventions. Just look at the number of hotels that have been built down there. It's important that you have a vibrant downtown if you're going to attract major conventions, and Columbus is in the market with some of the biggest convention cities in the country, and largely it's because we have these kinds of facilities. So it isn't just hockey, which is what, you know, I'm interested in, and some of the folks that bought season tickets near me are people that come in from adjacent counties, sometimes even two counties away. So this is a major driver of revenues here for the city. And what hadn't been mentioned, too, is the residential structures that have been built in the arena district. Now, they're tax-deferred to help, get people interested in building down there, but that's, I believe, it's a 10-year tax abatement. When those are over, you're going to have real estate taxes coming in, too, that you didn't have before. I think it's, the right thing to do. This is good for the city, and I applaud what is going on with this deal.
All right. Well, Lou, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. We have an email from a listener, writes, something I've been wondering as it relates to this issue is, do we really have enough entertainment and sports events in Columbus to support both the Shot and the Nationwide Arena? Do we know if was any consideration to have the Blue Jackets play at the Shot? That is a question. They're going to be managed for the first year, right, Mike Grease and John O'Grady, by OSU?
Well,
Mike?
actually broader than that. There is an agreement between the university and the CFA, where the Convention Facilities Authority, mm-hmm. where you know you have joint marketing of the of those venues in general, so that not to compete against each other. And so I know that's already saved. I think up to $1 million in its first year. So while I don't believe there's going to be Blue Jackets games at the Shad, there is going to be coordination and collaboration, not just for all the other events that take place. We forget about all the other events, the concerts and you know all the other things that occur, the Disney on Ice and all the things that occur at the arena that bring in vibrancy and revenue to our community.
An email from Bob. He says, "What happens if the casino fails to generate enough revenue to make the deal work?" Commissioner O'Grady, is that a question you've asked?
Absolutely, that's been factored in. The casino only generates what the casino generates, you know. And if it doesn't bring in the numbers that have been projected, then it's still just a 25%. And Mike, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, because you know,
yes, sir.
Mike and I sat in many, many, many meetings, you know, that were part of the working group. But Mike probably has. I'm in my car, and yeah. Mike probably has to be filled on his desk.
Wow.
But if I'm not mistaken, not only is it it's 25% of whatever the revenue is, regardless of the revenue.
But what if the revenue isn't enough to meet the bills?
Then there's we only pay what we can afford, as our city auditor says. So whatever yeah. we so we're protected that way, and that was one of the you know among many many questions that have come up over the last 2 years by elected officials and others. That was one that came up very early on, and is part of the agreement. One other thing I just want to mention, Ann, if I can, that we haven't talked about enough, I don't think. You know, Columbus is an income tax city, and so we get our revenue from jobs. And again, that's why we're making sure that we invest here and protect the 10,000 jobs in the district. And we get 70% of our money from jobs, mm-hmm. and it goes into our general fund, and we use that money for you know police, fire, trash, right. human service needs in our community,
but not schools.
Rec centers.
But not schools. Columbus City Schools depends on property taxes, and I was wondering, will the school district lose property tax revenues once the arena becomes public property?
Well, I do believe in the year 2015 that. The arena becomes tax exempt, and the schools will not benefit like they are currently from the arena, but they'll benefit from all the businesses. And one critical statistic that is a fact is that the schools have received $44 million over the last 10 plus years because of the arena
mm-hmm.
and the arena district, and that's from payments that the city. Nationwide Arena have directly made, as well as the property tax revenue that have been generated by the arena businesses there. So
by the district,
substantial sum.
And that's all correct, Mike. I would add to that sunset of in 2015, that was going to happen whether this deal happened or not. There was only ever an agreement in place for that revenue through 2015.
Earl in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Earl.
Hi, Ann.
Hi.
I have a question. Well, actually, I have a comment and a question, I guess.
Okay.
But there's a very interesting book that was written by David K. Johnston called Free Lunch that addresses this specific problem that we're talking about, about these arenas and these stadiums that are built in and around cities and it turns out to be a good deal for the taxpayer. And what I see us doing is the taxpayers will be paying rent will own this arena and then pay the rent in a subsidy for the owner of the Blue Jackets. Now, I just can't understand that deal. And, you know, what happens, these arenas, as has been discussed here, according to David K. Johnston, it creates dead zones and around the arena. And when there's not a game going on, then the businesses don't make money that's around the arena. So
okay.
Well, plus there's a problem here that there's a vote being taken tonight at City Council before the we get information on, before we get the proposal put together in a format that they can even discuss. So I'm just extremely concerned about this. It continues to go on, and everybody talks about well, it's a really good deal. We preserve jobs, et cetera. Well, we knew it before the arena was built that it was going to be this situation, and they would build up all of these businesses around the arena, and the arena could not as an anchor tenant could not take care of the maintain the area.
All right. Well, let's look at your first point, Stephen Buser. Is this like subsidizing private owners?
Well, I would say that the norm is correct. That going into it, that was my expectation, that this is there is no free lunch, and this is a negative deal. So in the 1990s, again, I indicated I would have voted against it had I been here. I was on leave and wasn't here to able to vote. But so I think the call-in person is correct on that is the norm for such activities. This appears to be a spectacular exception to the norm. And I go back to, and I think the caller can probably remember what it was like as well, the abandoned prison site, as I think both of our political people have indicated. And it is now a thriving business, and we know that there is no dead zone in the Arena District, quite the opposite, that we have businesses completely unrelated to hockey moving in. In fact, I received a call from the city of Edmonton that was stunned that in the middle of a real estate collapse, the Arena District was growing so rapidly that we could not even accommodate the casino. And they were just they wanted to know, how is that possible that your Arena District is growing so rapidly? So while I fully support the sympathy of the caller, I'm saying this is a spectacular exception. The numbers are there. People who were extremely skeptical, as I was, looking at the numbers have also agreed. It's 100% agreement over people who have looked at the numbers said, oh my goodness, what an exception to the rule this is. This is a golden goose that we dare not kill.
Thanks a lot for that call, Earl. We have an email from Paul. He says the government should not be in the sports arena business. History has shown that when it's a profitable deal, the private sector takes the project, and when it's a money loser, they shuffle it off to the taxpayers. Mike Reese, that's what Earl was saying. Paul said it again in this email. He says, why should we abandon a successful policy to one that turns us into a high-tax city like Cleveland and Chicago with dependence on government spending to keep a sports arena afloat?
Well, I think both callers or those who submitted questions via email or whatever means, they bring up good valid points. I think if this were an arena or a stadium that was sort of on an island or by itself, then I would probably agree. That's not what we have here. You'll see other cities that have that type of situation. I mean, we have an arena, and as Commissioner O'Grady said, a stadium nearby, thousands of office jobs and retail jobs and so okay.
There's more to it than just an arena.
Exactly.
I got to end it there. Thanks so much, Mike Reese, for joining us today.
Thank you, Ann.
Mike Reese, Chief of Staff for Columbus City Mayor Michael Coleman. Also, Commissioner, Franklin County Commissioner John O'Grady, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for having me.
And Stephen Buser, OSU Finance Professor, and WOSU's Mandy Trimble, thank you for joining us today as well.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.